Sorry, Dad.
Do it. What?
Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get this party started.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name
what?
Is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Porter.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Get this party started.
Let's go.
Fuck it, MCs.
Yes, sir.
Coming to you live from Super Bowl headquarters, H-Town.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. What? You know, that was an actual experiment, you know, because, you know, y'all keep talking about how it's okay to come in. Like, I'm being for real. Now, granted, you know, even though in spite of all the crap, you know, I was trying to prove a point, you know, so I hope you guys took that into consideration. So, FYI, still a lot of love, I'm just saying. America, talking sports
okay.
12 men today, of course.
Okay, that's
still love. Okay. I'm just saying. I mean, y'all act like, you know, I got on the show 10 minutes before time. I'm like, all right, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to see how it feels. You know, it's coming right before the – I'm still on time. Well, technically, y'all, but it makes everyone a little nervous. I'm just saying. All right.
One of my famous lines is, a lie doesn't care who tells it.
It's not a lie, bro. I know I joke a lot, but I was really trying to prove a point, like, you know, because we always have to say we right there, but, you know, it's okay if we, you know, like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes before, but, you know, we like right before, like 30 seconds, folks get a little nervous, so that's all I'm trying to say. But anyway, all is well. We are good. Today is, of course, Tuesday, 31st. We're ready to kick talking sports off. We are ready. Super Bowl week. We're having some fun. Joined by my fellow co-hosts who are hopefully will answer any question that you throw at them, and they're not going on any, like, boat trips to Miami. But first and foremost, let's kick it off with JQ. How you feeling this evening, man?
Well, I'm trying to go to a boat trip for the All-Star weekend, so I ain't going to say that. I'm trying to do something to get down to Miami today. Hey, All-Star weekend in Miami this year. I got to try. And we're sorry.
Okay.
We're sorry that was before, you know. Can I keep my going guard trail? Or are you going to make me take it back?
Yeah. You can keep it anyway, bro. It's all good, man. Like I said, things roll off. You know, things just roll off. It's all good, man. Here we go.
Right. There you go. Somebody
remember that Cosby show, right?
Yeah, right.
That other voice you hear is our New Orleans / Houston correspondent, Robert Ford. How you feeling this evening, Rob?
Man, feeling fantastic, man. Got a little Texas beef in my system with a little smattering of asparagus, shrimp, crab cakes. So, and to wash it down with a mangria.
Ooh. And I can't even spell mangria.
That's why I'd be a player for 2 hours.
You're right. You're right. But hey, I stayed away from the carbs for the most part, so.
There you go. Can make it right, JQ. However, he can make it right. Let's reach out to for everyone that wants to call into the show. The number is always 424-243-9519. That's the number to reach us. Follow us on Twitter. Go to the number at 12THMAN Sports. That is one aspect. And then last but not least, if you want to follow us, that aspect, you want to reach out to us through Facebook, go to facebook.com/12manSports, or if you type in Talking Sports with the 12 Men, you will find us in that space as well. All right, gentlemen, we are a couple days from the Super Bowl starting Sunday. We got a lot of topics to discuss, and I love all the little text messages that Rob is sending me, and I guess we're going to kick it off with the number one question. Are the Patriots the most hated team in sports? Rob, the floor is yours.
I would say they're definitely pretty close. I mean, I would you know, if you're looking at from a sports perspective, I think the Yankees could be up there as one of the most hated teams in sports. But I think the Yankees could be one of those teams that you either love them or you hate them, though. Where I don't know if the Patriots have a group of lovers. So the Patriots might be more hated than the Yankees. And I would even say the Lakers are in that category, too. You either love them or you hate them. So, you know, and probably the Cowboys or the Cowgirls are probably in that mix as well.
Cowboys
I think
are up there.
They're in another team that you probably either love them or you hate them. So, I mean, you could probably make a case that other than people that actually live in New England, I don't know if the Patriots are a team that you either love them or you hate them. I think you either in New England, you love them, and the rest of the country hates them for the most part. And so I would probably have to say they might be the most hated team in sports. The only team that I can think of that's probably just as hated is the Duke Blue Devils in basketball. And I mean, I would probably say Duke's probably somewhere in that ballpark. It's probably been one of the most hated teams in sports, Duke basketball, that is. So I would probably say those are the two most hated teams in all of sports, Duke basketball and the New England Patriots. With NFL is obviously bigger than college basketball, so you probably have to put the Patriots one and then the Duke Blue Devils number two in my book.
JQ, go ahead.
Yeah, you know I'm 100% avoiding that train. I was trying to think of someone else. The only other team that could probably hate it like that, you know, it's not just specifically a team over time, but like a specific year, like that Heat team with LeBron and Wade and Bosh, people hated that team. You know, there's some teams out there, but like, oh, the longevity that you have right now here recently of hate, yeah, it's like you said, he hit it. You know, if you're not off 95 between Providence and Boston, I mean, you know, a little further, I guess, up north in New Hampshire and whatnot, you're not really rooting for the Patriots. So you got a lot of people pulling for the Falcons. A lot of people pulling for the Falcons this Sunday.
Yeah.
It's the country for the Falcons in New England for New England.
Yeah, I would say, you know, if you either a Patriots fan or you're a Saints fan, and you're pulling for the Patriots. but just from what I'm experiencing mainly here in Houston, I can tell you that majority of people here in Texas are pulling for the Falcons.
Nice. Except for Robert. He's the one person that's not pulling for the Falcons, but that's okay. But, you know.
He can't.
Just like JQ can't pull for the Steelers. So, I mean, he knows where I'm coming from.
I know
Absolutely.
Where he's coming from. That's okay.
But he can't pull for the Michigan Wolverines. Up. Forget that Big Ten stuff.
I sure can.
Mm-hmm.
I was rooting for the Seminoles, like, you know, like, I guess, I mean, I went to school in Tallahassee, but I was rooting for the Seminoles, like, that was my team. I'm with you.
I'm up the same way. You know, bump that SEC stuff. I ain't rooting for Alabama.
There it is. So let's ask the question. I think as we dive into this, you know, first topic, I think there's kind of two different reasons why certain teams are hated. Because certain times, if the team is good, then, you know, so there's a lot of hatred because, man, they're always winning. You're on top of the mountain, everyone wants to knock you down. So there's that one, like Duke basketball, I can see because, you know, for whatever – you know, perceptions. There was a great documentary about, you know, Christian Laettner, which is very interesting because it kind of made me change my thoughts because, you know, you hated Duke because of what you thought. They were preppy, you know, they were whatever. When you found out that Christian Laettner was hardworking, he came from a solid family. So you actually kind of had a different, you know, respect for him. Not that I totally liked them, but I was like, okay, I get it, you know, because they were good and they kept getting good athletes, whatever, or good people in the system and, you know, whatever. You can talk about Mike Krzyzewski, great coach. The Patriots, they're hated because you kind of look at Bill Belichick and look like he got away with something. Now, granted, he is definitely one of the best coaches. Yeah, I know, JQ. Let me finish my point. You know, he's obviously one of the better coaches. But he always seems to he's like that smirk, you know, look on his face, like I know something that you don't know, and he's getting over on you. And that's why I think they're hated because of obviously the cheating scandals. There's always a little crap that's been happening with him, and there's always that asterisk with him, you know. And it's sad because I think that Bill Belichick is a great coach, but that little asterisk is one of those things you're like, man, why do you have to tape practices or whatever? You know, it's one of those different things about the Patriots, you know? So if you're in Boston, you're like, sucks to be us, you know, whatever. But everyone else has that kind of little thing about them. Am I right about that, you think, guys, or kind of the perspective on that, Rob?
Oh, yeah.
That?
I would say the perception is definitely that. There's no question about it. The perception is that the Patriots are cheaters. And to some degree, I'm sure some of it is accurate, obviously. And but I don't think they go to how many Super Bowls they've gone to of totally getting there by being cheaters.
Yeah.
I'm sure they may have cheated the system in some ways here and there, but I think overall they've gotten there due to obviously great quarterback, and they've gotten there due to great coaching. And I think those two aspects are the main reason, even more so than cheating scandals, of the reason
definitely
why
right.
they've been successful. But there's their perception, and they have not been able to get rid of that perception of being cheaters by the most part when you look at across the board across America. But my personal belief is the two main reasons why they've been successful is because they got a great head coach in place, and they have a great quarterback in place.
Yeah, but the third thing has been the cheating, and that's what's holding them up as well. Because you see how long it took them after the cheating scandals to get to another Super Bowl and win it. I hear what you're saying, Dre. He does look like he's trying to get over on you, but the thing about it is that he is, you know. He videotaping practices, you know, and the officials will let him do it. Now, think about it. You know, it was controversy back then, but, you know, in that game against Indianapolis, I believe, like for the AFC Championship game, where they just molested, you know, Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne. And everybody was looking like, they're going to let them do that? And then they did it to the greatest show on turf as well. And we were just like, wait a minute, man, you couldn't do that to the regular season. Now you just out there, you can just grab and knock somebody down. So it's just that piece with them. They always seem like they're getting over, and they are getting over. And we know they're getting over, and they know that we know they're getting over, and you still can't stop it. But the reason why you can't stop it is because they have a good head coach and a good quarterback. But they've been in a lot of corners, that's for sure. And that's the reason why I probably hate them so much.
Yeah, and even the so-called game with Brady and the footballs, I mean, that game, I mean, they just straight up destroyed the Indianapolis Colts. And I can't see where that was the biggest difference in that football game. I'm sorry. I mean, if the game was a 3-point game, a 7-point game, a 10-point game, maybe. But it wouldn't have made the difference in the outcome of that football game. And then they still go on and win and beat Seattle, which was a great Super Bowl here a couple of years ago. You can question the call by Pete Carroll, helping them win that game. But, I mean, I can't see where that was the difference in that football game when the game is that lopsided.
No, probably not.
Good call.
Not for that
Good call. Yeah, it's pretty interesting, too. So I think everyone is kind of on the same page as far as why the Patriots, because there's something going on. At least with the Cowboys, at least you hate them because of, you know, they're America's team, and everyone kind of forced that label. Like, really? We don't have to like America's team, and I can see that from that perspective, too. But, you know, and the Yankees are just good, man. So whatever you want to say, and everyone's buying championships, whatever you call it, we can go on this topic forever.
And like
but,
I said, those are two franchises, you either love them or you hate them. So, I mean, those two franchises still have a lot of lovers. And, you know, you either love them, but, you know, the Yankees, I love them. The Cowgirls, I hate them.
Wow. All right, next topic. Is Tom Brady the greatest QB of all time? JQ, your thought.
I don't know, and that's just to be honest. And I know I'm an unabashed Tom Brady hater, but you got to respect that dude. He's got 4 Super Bowl victories, and he could end up with 5. If he gets to 5, he's the greatest, and there's nothing you can really say about it.
Yep.
Because he's on that level with Joe Montana and both of them having 4 and the impact they've had. And you're like, you know, I still kind of want to give it to Montana because you couldn't pass back then like you can now. And it was a different game than Brady's able to do now. Montana still got 4 with it. So I don't know. I mean, if we ask this after this week, if he loses, I think he falls behind Montana. You know what I mean? Like us, like to a 1A, 1B. They're pretty much right now both on the one line. If he wins, he goes above Montana. But if he loses this game, and, you know, now he's got, you know, 4 wins and 3 losses, the 3 losses take a little bit of a luster off. I mean, you get there 7 times, but 3 losses bring him down enough to where you can leave Montana over him, in my opinion.
Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, I mostly agree with that. I'm going to still say Montana is the greatest as of right now. But I will put Brady past him if Brady wins this weekend. But I would say, and if he does so with an outstanding performance, then absolutely I would have to move Brady up to the one slot. But right now I'll give Brady the two slot behind Montana. Montana was Mr. Clutch. He was incredible with two-minute drills and coming from behind and win some games. I know JQ felt that in one of those Cincinnati games. And for him to be talking about John Candy in the stands on that drive, too, and he still go down the field and score a touchdown. Montana was Mr. Clutch. And the way they destroyed the Broncos in that Super Bowl, 55-10. As well as he was very successful in the two-minute drives and come from behind wins. He just did it countless times with that team. So I would have to give Montana the slight edge at this current moment. But Brady is knocking on the door, and who knows how many more years he's going to play as well.
Yeah, but New England came back in a lot of those games as well. Those were all like 4 or 7-point games in the Super Bowl wins. They weren't really
close games, you're right.
They've all been close games, so, you know, you got to give them credit for winning close games as well. They haven't just been run over, but yes, no, two Super Bowls.
But Montana's had a combination of both. He's had the come-from-behind wins, and then he's also had the dominating wins in the Super Bowl, too. You know, that Miami victory over Marino, 38-16, the 55-10 over Denver. I mean, he's had them both. He's had the dominating wins, and he's had the come-from-behind wins, too. Brady hasn't really had a dominating Super Bowl win yet.
Yep.
That's true.
So that's why I'm going to leave with Rod. I'm going to say that Montana's still the greatest. Shout out to all my 49er fans out there, too. I know we got some listeners on the West Coast.
Here you go. Here we go.
No, I mean, I said to do that. I mean, I'm just saying. It's out of respect. But, you know, not to say that Tom Brady's not a good quarterback, but I agree with you. I agree with you, JQ, because, it's like you don't really know. Now, he's made some clutch plays, but, I mean, Montana has just, like Robert said, has done both. The comeback, the clutch, he's wiped teams. Brady, if you think about, and we were looking at some stats about this earlier, and if you think that, I guess whenever he first got Super Bowl, it's always been close games, right? There's never been a dominant, and he's had, good defenses. You know, if you think about the defenses he's had from the Vince Wilfork's, the Lawyer Malloy's, the Ty Law, I mean, he's had some really strong defenses. Now, not a knock, again, you still got to make those plays, but if you look at the greatest of all time, I still am going to side with Montana just because of the fact, like you said, Rob, he's done both. He's done the comeback. He's done the blowouts. As far as, you know, Brady's been done enough, and Brady has got Vinatieri in there in the position to make the win. He's made just enough plays, and that's not a knock, but, again, I'm going to have to kind of give that to Montana just because of the fact the way that the game is shaped out, too. So, anyway, you know, like I said, no hate.
Yeah, I'm not going to knock that.
Tom Brady.
I'm not going to knock that.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not going to knock that. I think you can go either way. I think you can go either way on that. Just for me, I think they're on the same level in this era, both having 4 Super Bowl wins and being that dude, really. Love them or hate them, but they have been those dudes. But, I mean, you can – to me, if you know, it's just nitpicking, really, one over the other.
Yeah.
They both, I think, are right there. You can make a great argument like you just guys just made for Montana. And I'm not mad at that. I'm not sitting over here like, oh, no, you're wrong. It's Tom Brady. You know, like, it's so close, you can go either way. So I agree with that.
Interesting. All right, let's talk about Robert's favorite subject here. Will the Falcons being Super Bowl novices, will that help them out? So go ahead, Rob. You know, I love to hear you talk about the Falcons.
I'm obviously rooting against the Falcons in this game. But in some ways, I mean, I kind of think this could be their year. And being Super Bowl novice can actually help them. I mean, you know, I hate to compare the Falcons to my Saints, but, you know, you go back to the 2009-10 season, it was just the Saints' year. They were just magical offensively. They were opportunistic defensively. And I kind of see the Falcons as being the same kind of team, just explosive offensively with a ton of weapons. And I actually think the Falcons are the more talented team of these two teams. I think the Patriots obviously may have an advantage on the coaching side of it, but I think being a Super Bowl novice can actually help the Falcons in this matchup.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I agree, and you know, as I'm thinking about it, you know, you get Clemson, you know, breaking a 30-some-odd year snap of not winning the national championship. You got Cleveland, you know, the Cavs finally getting a ring for the city. You got the Cubs breaking the longest curse of all time. You know, in baseball, it just kind of feels like one of those years, right, where Like you said, that being a year, like one of those years where you just kind of get a new person that in a new city to enjoy as opposed to, you know, when you get things that repeat and they all do it kind of in the same year. So I think we might be in the throes of one of those kind of sports years where that's happening, where you get somebody that, you know, I hate to say it, the term, but, you know, rises up, you know, from where you didn't think they were going to be at and get to that point.
Yeah.
Like none of us had, you know, because when nobody really thought for real Cleveland was going to beat the Warriors. You know, it's just like that Clemson beating Alabama. So we've got a lot of, you know, kind of, you know, David stories going on this year, and then maybe Atlanta turning, you know, in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, good call. I agree with you, Rob. I agree with both of you guys because, you know, we talked about Tom Brady in the previous topic, and you know, some of these players, you know, they're not getting caught up in the aura of Tom Brady, if you kind of follow what I'm saying. Basically, they may know that he's a great quarterback, but they haven't been around to see him make all these great comebacks, and they may know, oh, he's a great quarterback, but they're not going to know all of that, so they're not, like, fearful of it, if that makes sense. You know, like, hey, he's just a quarterback. You know, a veteran like me, like, oh, my gosh, this is Tom Brady. You know, not that it's a bad thing, but that inexperience can be like, it's just another quarterback, you know. So I agree that could actually help them. We'll talk about the situation as far as coaching in a quick second too. But, you know, like I said, it could be a good year. We're excited about it. And, you know, we'll dive into a couple players here, as Rob said, that are going to help, that's going to help decide the game. So go ahead, Rob, talk about the five players for each, and we can kind of dive into that, sir.
Well, I'm going to start with the Falcons first. Obviously, you got to start with the quarterback position. Matt Ryan has had a phenomenal season. He's an MVP candidate. He's going to have another big game in order for them to have a chance to win this game. And I know the Patriots are going to put a lot of focus on Julio Jones. One of the things the Patriots have done well historically under Bill Belichick is to try to take away your number one option. And I'm sure they're trying to come up with a game plan to try to stop Julio Jones. What do? You double him and, you know, and play man everywhere else? Or you just or you come up with a similar scheme like we did against the Buffalo Bills in 1990, just drop everybody back in the coverage and only rush two guys most of the game. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of scheme he comes up with. But that's the – and that's going to be my next point there. You know, obviously Matt Ryan's got to have a big game to see if they can get Julio Jones loose. But also the running backs for the Falcons are going to have to come up big. Because I can guarantee you one of the main schemes for the Patriots is going to be to try to slow the offense down by stopping the pass. And so the Falcons, Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman is going to have to run the ball effectively between the 20s. So they're going to have to be real effective in that area. And I can tell you New England, is the main focus is going to be to slow down the passing game and try not to get the Falcons to score points in bunches quickly. So the running game is going to have to be really effective for the Falcons between those two guys. And then my fifth guy for Atlanta, obviously you got to some kind of way put on some kind of heat on Tom Brady. So Vic Beasley is going to have to be key with rushing the passer, seeing if they can get him loose and get to the quarterback for the Falcons. Now, when you look at the Patriots, the same thing here. Your quarterback is number one. Brady's got to be effective. He's got to have a big game against that Falcons defense as well. I think Malcolm Butler is going to be key for the Patriots defensively, too. Whether he's on Julio Jones or whoever he's on, he's going to have to lock down. He's going to have to take at least one receiver away in this football game. He's going to have that kind of game against this Falcons offense. He's going to have to be that effective. And Julian Edelman, he's going to have to move the chains with clutch catches, he and Chris Hogan. I mean, they're not deep threats by any stretch of the imagination. They're going to have to move the chains. And also, I think you got to have a big running game out of LeGarrette Blount, too. You got to do everything you can to slow down this Falcons offense. So a combination of them playing coverage in this game defensively and the combination of them controlling the clock with LeGarrette Blount, I think is going to be huge for the Patriots if they're going to have a chance at winning this game.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I wanted to go, you know, to another piece of the game inside the game because for all the people that Rob just named, they're definitely going to be the primary keys to the game. But I think there's some other, you know, lesser primary keys and secondary keys to the game that I wanted to touch on. And I'm going to start with Atlanta, and I'm going to start with Alex Mack. And he's been a real key for Matt Ryan turning this season around. The protection that he's given and the line calls that he's been given the offensive line of being in sync with his quarterback and seeing the same thing, that's going to be paramount against Belichick and Patricia coming up with those exotic schemes like Roger talked about, rushing two, dropping, you know, nine and mixing things up and blitzing from one side and dropping off on the other side. So he's got to be able to diagnose that and get that communicated to his line and to his quarterback. So I think he's a big key for that Atlanta offense. And then I'm going to switch to the defensive side. That's what we were talking about, Matt Ryan, William Jones, Thomas, and the running backs, and Freeman and Campbell. But I will look at the defensive side of the ball for Atlanta for the things that Rob just talked about in terms of Edelman and Hogan coming out of the slot and those running backs like James White coming out in the flat and Bennett going up the seam. So Deion Jones, Devondre Campbell, Keanu Neal, and Brian Poole, especially being the slot cornerback for Atlanta, he's going to see a lot of Julian Edelman in this game, I believe, and he's going to be a key to it to see if he can slow Edelman down. So I'm looking at that Atlanta, you know, that linebacking core and those two safeties in the slot corner to see what they do in this game and try to slow Tom Brady down in that rushing and passing attack to the back and the tight end and the slot receiver. For New England, again, LeGarrette Blount exactly the same. So what are they going to do? Are they going to try to take the air out of the ball and keep Atlanta on the sideline? Or are they going to say we're going to play our offense? So I'll put LeGarrette Blount and James White both in there because, you know, James White is the receiving running back and Blount is basically the hammer, the good last name. So it depends on what kind of game plan they come out of this against Atlanta, and they might mix and match a little bit as well. So those two guys for sure. Dante Hightower, linebacker from New England. He's going to see a lot of Devontae Freeman in the box. Is he going to be able to cover Freeman in the flat is what I'm looking for as well. And then Patrick Chung and Devin McCourty. Somebody's got to be over the top and take Julio away. Somebody else has got to be able to stay with a Tevin Coleman running that wheel right off the backfield. So I'm looking for those safeties and linebackers also for New England. How do they try to control Matt Ryan, and are they up to the task?
Good calls, man. You know, I agree with both of those statements, too, because, you know, I can see the players. And I like what you're talking about, too, JQ, because there's some, you know, offensive linemen. You hit Alex Mack, man. That's a big thing. You know, how are they going to react to the line for the Patriots? And like you said, I got to say the back end, you know, you got to look at the secondary. You know, we got a lot of rookies, man, and you can name all four of those guys. You can name, you know, Deion Jones. You can name Jalen Collins. You can name Keanu Neal.
LSU.
You know, they're going to get tested. Yep. Well, come on. But, yeah, I'll give you that, you know. But like I said, they're going to get tested. But this is, you know, like you talked about. They got just enough Vic Beasley in the second year. What if Belichick does the opposite and says, hey, let Julio get all his, and then we're freaking out. But, you know, if they drop, you know, eight or whatever, and then we rush two, Rob, we'll run the ball on them, man. So that's all I'm going to say about that. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out for sure. All right.
Yeah.
Here we go, guys.
And they did the same thing where, you know, Belichick was a defensive coordinator in that 1990 Giants-Bills matchup when he came up with that philosophy. If you remember that year at Buffalo, that was the one year where Buffalo was favored to win in the Super Bowl. And
that
the Giants barely won 20-19. Scott Norwood missed the field goal at the end of the game. But if you go back to that matchup, which, you know, obviously New England has just as potent offense, which the Giants didn't have at that time. And, you know, his philosophy at that time was to let Buffalo run the ball between the 20s, and they will hold them to field goals, which they did a phenomenal job of that back then. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of scheme he comes up with, if he can do something similar like that. Let the Falcons run the ball between the 20s and then just hold them to field goals once they get, you know, inside of, you know, when the zones get a lot tighter once you get down in the red zone. And so I'm sure he's going to come up with some kind of scheme. Not sure if he's going to do the exact scheme, but I just think some kind of way that's going to be his game plan going into this matchup.
Gotcha. All right. Will can Dan Quinn outcoach Bill Belichick? The floor is yours about this, JQ.
You know, I don't think Dan Quinn can go into the matchup doing that because then he's going to be unsure of himself and not call the game that he's called all year and let Cal and everybody else do what they need to do to keep the offense and the defense both moving. I think he just got to be Dan Quinn. And, I mean, I know that kind of starts the question. I don't think he necessarily has to out-coach him in terms of that aspect. I think Dan Quinn has to keep calling the plays and not let the stage be too big for him. And then his players have to go out there and execute. You know, they've got 2 weeks to prepare. They know they've got a mad scientist coming and Bill Belichick and then Patricia on that defensive side. I think they're going to be prepared if, you know, if they can keep their wits about them. And it goes back to them being novices. So I think they are. I just don't think he can approach it like that. Like, I got, oh, my God, I'm facing Bill Belichick. I got to out-coach him. I think he just has to be him and trust that what he's been doing so far is going to work and his players are going to keep performing for him.
Good, Rob. Question is yours.
Well, yeah, and I kind of agree with that. I don't think he can out-coach Bill Belichick, but I think if he just go into this game approaching it, that he has a more talented team, which I believe he does. I think a lot of what the Patriots are doing is because of Belichick and Brady. It's because of coaching, and it's because, come on, Chris Hogan, Julian Edelman is your wide receivers, and you're moving to change Chris Hogan. Was this guy even drafted, or was he a seventh-round pick or something? Where does this guy come from? I mean, when you look at the Falcons, you got a guy like Julio Jones, you got Mohamed Sanu, and you got two running backs that can almost – they can both catch the ball out of the backfield and run the ball. When you look at a talent standpoint, Falcons are the more talented team. They are definitely the more talented team. Most of what the Patriots are doing is because of scheme, because of Belichick, and because of Brady. So he's not going to out-coach Belichick. But he's just got to realize he's got the more talented team. And he's been there before as a defensive coordinator with Seattle just a few years ago. They've gone 2 years in a row. He's a defensive coordinator. It should not be too big for him. And I'm sure he learned a lot in both of those games. Obviously, he won one of them, and one of them he lost in the heartbreaker. And I'm sure he's going to be motivated because he lost to the Patriots 2 years ago as well. But as JQ mentioned, he's just going to have to be himself. He's got to go into the game realizing that he's a more talented he has the more talented team going in there and let those guys do what they do.
You know what, real quick, Dre, and to piggyback on your point, Rob, there's one other thing I think you need to add in terms of a key for what they've done this year at the Patriots, and that's also schedule. I brought it up last week. They have not faced a top 12 rated quarterback that was rated at the end of the year all season. Nobody in the top 12. So think about that schedule they had where they didn't face anybody in the that was ranked, I think, by Pro Focus in the top 12. Now they get probably the MVP in the league. You know what I mean? So that's going to be an interesting piece to this puzzle here when we get to watch this game, is how do they react when you're playing the MVP who's playing at that level if Matt Ryan comes to play like he's been playing. But I agree with you with the other pieces. Yeah, he's just got to be him and let Matt Ryan and them do what they do.
Yeah, I'll agree with you, Rob. Good points, too, JQ, in that both you're not going to out-coach Bill Belichick. That's a great, great call. But I do want you to realize that there's a lot of things that I was looking up that I thought was pretty interesting in the fact that, as you said, Rob, Dan Quinn has been to the past couple Super Bowls. So, yeah, he's seen that. Now, does that help this team? Because this team may be young, but the coaching, they've been that. Raheem Morris, did you guys know he was actually on the same Super Bowl team with that won Super Bowl in 2002 with John Gruden? He was a quality control.
Uh-huh.
Richard Smith, he was part of that team, too, for Denver. So you got to realize, even though the players may not be there, he's got coaches that have been in that situation, so he can take from all of that and say, what will we do different to make this team a little bit better? Now, like you said, you're not going to out-coach a Bill Belichick, but you do have some experience more than what we think that's out there, too. So I just want to throw that little nugget out there because I was looking at that. I was like, wow, I didn't
realize
Green Morris was actually that. See, you know, same thing with Richard Smith. He's been there before, too, so he knows the coaches have been there. They kind of know what to say. Hey, players, be prepared for this. And Dan Quinn is going to know what to say from being under Pete Carroll as far as we've been through that. The infamous, I'm just here so I don't get fined. You know, next question. You know, we can go here all day about what to do and all that fun stuff, too, as well, too, gentlemen. So it's just pretty interesting, to say the least.
Draven on Pocket.com, boy, pull out these nuggets.
You know what? That's okay, though, right? Man, this has been the greatest week for me. I'm sitting here, I'm just watching everything. My television stayed tuned to NFL.com. I'm soaking up everything, man. It's been a fun week for me, man. So, you know, that's why I'm excited, man. You know what? Yeah. That's true. I have not.
What was that?
That's been rough. I had some lineup.
How about
you
start his lineup?
Oh, man. Yeah. Every time I try to set that, this is a whole other conversation. Yeah. It's not like it's easy as football. You can set it for the week, man, because I'm crazy busy, man. But I get it. Let's talk about this. I do want to talk about – we got about 10 minutes here. Hopefully, Rob, I hope you can kind of let me go off target here because an interesting move in that John Lynch was named as the GM for the 49ers. And this is one of those situations where I don't think anyone knew this was going to happen. And if you're the 49ers, and I'm just kind of curious, guys, to get your thoughts about this, because is this a good move? And I was trying to talk my father-in-law off the ledge, because I'm like, well, you know, the plus side of me, he has seen a lot. He's a smart player. He came from Stanford. He's played quarterback, switched to safety. So, you know, you're going to know talent, and he's not that far removed from playing. So he may know personnel. Now, you got to get some people in there that's the adult in the room that kind of has more knowledge. But this can either be a great move or like a, you know, freaking Matt Millen all over again. So I'm going to ask you really quickly if you have any thoughts about this, and when I can go ahead and put my name in the hat for being the next GM. So go ahead, Rob, even though I'm kind of joking with that too. Your thoughts on that, man?
Well, there are some positives to bringing in a guy like John Lynch as general manager, and there are some negatives. More recently, I can compare John Elway when he got a similar position, even though his title was maybe a little bit more advanced. He's got some VP titles added to his name with the Denver Broncos. But I think the key is, the positives is he's going to be able to relate to the players. And so from a recruiting standpoint, you know, he'll be able to sit down on players and free agency and things of that nature, and they're going to draw to him, similar to what Elway has been able to do in Denver. The negative side is, you know, being a general manager, I mean, you got to know player personnel. You got to, you know, there's a lot of film study. You got to have the right departments for player personnel from a pro standpoint and from a college scouting standpoint. So he's going to need the right people around him to cover that. His pro personnel director is going to have to be top-notch for him to be successful as a general manager. He's going to have a top-notch pro personnel director in that organization. And he's probably going to have to make more money than he does. That's how good his pro personnel director is going to have to be for him to be a successful general manager. And not trying to be funny about it, but that's the truth, and that's the same way Denver has to do with John Elway. You have to have a good pro personnel director if you're going to have a general manager with no experience. They're going to have to be the eyes and ears. There's a lot of little key factors that you're going to have with that pro personnel director. And then, obviously, you got to have a good college guy, too. You still have to win in the draft. You still have to be successful in the draft. And so John Lynch is not going to know these guys from these small colleges like Hofstra. Hofstra don't have a football program anymore, so maybe I shouldn't use that school anymore. But you get the point where I'm going.
I got you.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to have to – actually, Georgetown has a football program, so let me use Georgetown. Yeah, so you're going to have a guy that knows scouting, that knows how to find these gems in the small school. And I can tell you this, John Lynch will know everybody with a first-round grade. He will know those guys. But where your key college guys comes in is where you're going to find these diamond in the roughs, where you're going to find these free agents that don't get drafted, how you're going to succeed in later rounds in your draft. He will need somebody good to handle those kind of people and finding the right people in those rounds. And so he's going to have the right people around him. But like I said earlier, the positive is when they're recruiting players, they can use him to their advantage. He'll be able to relate to those players. He'll be able to talk to them and where they're going. And he'll be able to sell the organization. He'll be a great salesman for the organization. There's no doubt about it.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, no, I agree with both of you guys. He's got to have a strong personnel group, and I would add to that is that part of that personnel group, he's got to have a strong capologist, somebody that can come in and construct contracts and make sure they don't have too much debt money hidden in too many years, and that's how you also can build a great roster is if you get good young talent because of all the things that Rob just said, but you can also commence you know, the contracts of the free agents that you bring in as well and the dudes that are on your team, well, maybe not essentially because they don't have a lot of good dudes, but the free agents that you bring in. But there are two other things about it. He talked to Kyle Shanahan and volunteered for the job, and him and Kyle Shanahan vibes, so they're both getting six-year deals because of the relationship that they clearly already had and then what they put together in their conversations with, you know, Kyle basically being the de facto head coach of San Francisco at this point, unless somebody just walks in with, you know, throwing up middle fingers like, you know, I ain't coming, you know. Something crazy has to happen for Kyle not to be the head coach. So them having that relationship, I think it's a big plus. And, you know, we don't really think about it like this because San Francisco has been so good for so long and such a model franchise. They are in disarray. And there's not a whole lot of GMs worth their salt that can sit back and wait for a better opportunity or in a decent opportunity that's leaving to go to San Francisco right now. So if you're San Francisco, York is having struggles, but it's an outside-the-box move where these two guys have established a relationship and maybe they work well together. It might blow up. It might be horrible. But who was really coming to get that San Francisco job from a GM standpoint where you're like, yes, he's that guy? Because all the other jobs are closed, you know. All the jobs got filled, yeah. And there's a reason why. It's because nobody really wants to be the GM in San Francisco. So, you know, you got to take that in consideration when you judge it. Like, who else would you replace him with that was willing to come to San Francisco?
You didn't mess up AA, Ron. Sorry.
Well, John Lynch was a Bay Area guy, too. Obviously went to Stanford, so it's like a homecoming for him. Yeah,
yeah.
So you know, really should be interesting to see how that works out. And yeah, get Kyle Shanahan out of Atlanta, too. Get him out of there.
What did you say? why are you trying to get Kyle Shanahan? Are you jealous?
Yeah, get him out of there. Anything to weaken the Falcons. You get him out of there.
He's gone, bro. He's gone.
Get him the head coaching job in San Francisco. Get him out of there.
He's gone.
They both
getting 6-year deals. There's
no way. That's another thing that he may have a lot of love because working with his dad, too, for a Super Bowl tie, too. So that's my last little point about the Super Bowl ties as well, too. But let's really quick. We've got about three minutes here. Can we get a quick Super Bowl prediction? We'll talk about Tom Brady and his desire to play the 45 and keeping the Raiders in Oakland. So go ahead, Rob, get through your quick Super Bowl prediction here.
Oh, man. I tell you, I know last week I picked the Patriots. I've kind of tipped over to the Falcons side with the prediction. It hurts as it makes me to say this, but I'm going to give the Falcons the 3-point victory in the Super Bowl.
Oh, rise up. I'm rooting for the Falcons. You know I'm not rooting for New England. But I also think the Atlanta can win this game. They have the weapons to win this game. They just cannot turn the ball over. If they don't turn the ball over, they can win this game.
Yeah, Rob, you got about 2 minutes and 50 seconds. You want to talk about fantasy shout-outs, and then we got to go ahead and do the OT portion, and we'll go from there.
Fantasy shout out. Actually, my co-host Ohio Players had the biggest win of the week, 7-1 over Past the Rock.
Yes,
yours truly, my team, the Orleans Buck Jumper, still holding down first place in fantasy basketball. So appreciate it. We're getting close to the NBA All-Star stretch, so we're winding down here the last couple of months of the season.
That was 5-2, though.
We'll be on the air. We're doing Tuesday night again next week, gentlemen.
Yeah, Tuesday night works.
Yep. We'll be on air Tuesday night again next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. You don't want to miss it. We'll recap the Super Bowl. We get you ready for the offseason in the NFL. We'll maybe recap college football signing day, which is tomorrow. Obviously, we're getting the heart of the basketball season, NBA, college hoops, March Madness around the corner. We're going to get you ready. You don't want to miss any weeks of our shows, so make sure you're always tuning in. Every week. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We'll see you, or actually, we'll be talking to you next week. Good night, people.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, it pains me because as long as he's been in first place, I've been in second place, and it pains me that he is still in first place. I don't like it. I'm competitive, and I'm setting my roster, and I can't get robbed by the first place. So I got to give my love. He's killing me. Appreciate you, good people.
You sure?
Tuning in to us. Yes, sir. Download the podcast. Listen to the OT. We'll hear you next week. Go Chargers. I just had to do it. I thought.
The Los Angeles Chargers.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
hey, JQ, he's trying real hard, bro. Robert is on a mission to win one of these leagues, man. So he is super hyper-focused, bro. So every stat, he's calming players, bro. I'm just telling you the heads up, man. He's going to get his one, man. He's trying real hard, man. So. It's all good, man.
Hey, man, I'm hanging.
But I appreciate the competitiveness. That's what it's all about, having fun competing. And I certainly appreciate that.
It's only three of us, really, if we want to be honest.
I love it. Oh, good job. All right, gentlemen.
What is it? Saints Pelicans? Hello. Shout out to Saints Pelicans.
Yeah, Saints Pelicans 23, yep. And I can tell you, he has been incredible in fantasy basketball over the years. So he's been phenomenal.
Good call. All right, let's keep this moving here. Like I said, fantasy basketball,
It's all good, man. I just care about football, but I'll try to make a little comeback here a little later on, man, because, you know, I got to change my life every day. And that's a whole other conversation. It's all good. Hey, Nah, man, I'm just going to, you know, maybe I'll start throwing some stuff in there, man. You know, it's all good. Let's see here.
You got swept again this week, didn't you, Drake?
No, I was 5-2, bro. Shut up, man. Yeah, look it up, 5-2. It was 5-2. 5-2, sucker. It's all good. Check this out. I'm looking at my app right now.
Who had the 5?
All right. Me, sucker. Look it up.
Oh, okay, all right.
Look it up. You can see the picture of it right now? I was waiting for you to say something. It's all good.
Rob's killing it, though. We got to give Rob a lot of love. He's killing it. I give credit where credit is due. He's making it almost impossible to catch him right now. I just think he'd be mad.
He's trying real hard.
Or you're leading 5-2 this week at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, see? Gotcha. See? Yeah. Yeah, sucker.
All right. All right. Good. Well, I got to keep it going, so I just, you know, I got a few people right behind me, so I got they keep pushing me, so that's.
I think I'm gonna mess around, and start taking things seriously, so you know that's what I'm gonna do. It's just the F with Rob, man. So you know, it's all good, man. All right. You know, Super Bowl week, a lot of things going on, man. You know, I got
like
DJ and stuff, man. A lot of things happen. I did the one button push last week. That was disastrous. That's all I got to say. Cool, I can start active players, and I kept hitting.
Yes.
And, like, it was like substitute my injured players. I'm like, whoa, that's not what I meant to happen. So now I got to sit there and go in and make sure that it's not substituting injured players. So it's all good. All good. Let's see here.
Mine is a terrible thing to waste on, Drake.
Bruh, man, you better be glad that I can care less about this right now with you, bro, because I'm on a high, bro. No, man, I'm just saying, man, you better be happy that I'm over here and I'm on a Falcon high, man, so it's all good, man. What? Rise up, you can't take that from me. What? All right, here we go.
Oh, okay.
Let's talk about this. Okay. Should the NFL try to keep the Raiders in Oakland? This is a great topic, and I think they should, man, because it's just not only the fact that it's the Las Vegas thing, and like I said, I don't know if it has to be a team right now. I mean, but I just think it's you always know of the Raiders being in California. I know they were kind of going back and forth between Anaheim and Los Angeles and whatever, but some way somehow they got to stay in Oakland. So that's my thoughts on it. I know Al Davis is probably turning over and is great right about now. But yeah, I think that's a definite yes. So, what are your thoughts about this, JQ?
Oh yeah, you got to keep the Raiders in Oakland. I mean, at worst they got to go to LA, but they can't go to LA now because the Chargers are there on another ridiculous move. So yeah, it can't be the Las Vegas Raiders. It just can't be. It's got to either be the Oakland Raiders 1 or the LA Raiders 2. That's the only thing that is acceptable for the Raiders franchise.
Mm.
And they messed up the deal today, so it may not happen anyway.
There it is. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I totally agree. I mean, the Raiders, that fan base is one of the best in the NFL. I mean, that would be crazy. I know the city of Oakland is not doing their part with helping to keep the Raiders there, which is part of the reason why they're considering moving. But some kind of way, the NFL and the city of Oakland and the Raiders got to come to some kind of agreement to keep that team there. I mean, that fan base is incredible, one of the best in the NFL. I mean, they're avid fans. They love their Raiders. They're just coming off of a pretty successful season, and who knows, they could have possibly been in an AFC championship game if David Carr was healthy. Derek Carr, I'm sorry. So if he was healthy, who knows? I mean, but, yeah, they got to find a way to keep that team out in Oakland. And like I said, that stadium is one of the worst in the NFL. It's a dump. Uh-huh. And it's part of the reason why they want to move. The only bright side from the NFL standpoint of going to a city like Las Vegas, it would be an incredible site for a Super Bowl with the hotel capacity that's there and a brand-new stadium. I mean, it obviously will be a great showcase for the NFL have a team there and to be able to host a Super Bowl there. Obviously, gambling is a huge concern. And you know, as far as the players and point shaving and things of that nature. I mean, that's a huge concern for the NFL. And how do you control that, and how do you keep the players out of that aspect is going to be key. And also referees, that's another thing. You know, right now, and for any referee to even travel to the NFL, for any NFL referee to travel to Las Vegas, they must report to the NFL that they are traveling to Las Vegas. That is a rule for every NFL referee. If they're taking a personal trip to Las Vegas, they have to report that in advance to the NFL. I mean, that is a fact. And so that's a huge concern. Referees in Las Vegas, and as well as having a team there. So gambling is a huge concern for the NFL. But it could be a good showcase if everything works properly. But I still say you got to keep that team in Oakland. That's one heck of a fan base.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Well stated, sir.
And they stick with that team through thick and thin. They're not fair weather fans.
Yeah, they are all about – that's right, Holmes, the Raider Nation, bro. You know what I'm saying? Keep it real. they're pretty loyal, man. So I'll give you that, man. That's good. That's a good squad. All right, gentlemen, let's talk about this. This is a great topic. We're talking about quarterbacks here, and I don't know why Rob keeps talking about Tom Brady here. We'll talk about it later, but comment was that he wants to play till he's pretty old, and I guess play till he's what 45. And I'm gonna preface this too. If you guys know who the oldest quarterback was to ever play in the NFL, that's a trivia question here. But can he play?
Well,
I'm gonna say yes because you know, yeah, that's it. Yeah, you know how old he was?
Yep.
Yeah.
Did he go up to 51?
No.
48. He wouldn't retire. He was
48.
From what I want to say.
I was closer. I said 46. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Steve the Bird was up there, 45. Warren Moon was up there. Vinny Testaverde, Doug Flutie, Earl Monroe, Mark Brunell. Those are like the top ones that I see that I'm looking at the list here now. But, you know, I don't think it's like totally unheard of. But, yeah, I mean, just, yeah, wow. The game is still going to be there, and I think he can still do it. So that's my thought, sir. I'm going to kick it to you, Rob. What do you think about that and Tom Brady?
I think 45 is pushing it. You know, Brett Favre is the latest one we've seen, but Brett Favre, he took a lot. He took a beating in his career. So for him making it to 40 was pretty amazing. I think Brady could get to 42 or 43. I really do because, I mean, they protect him well. He gets rid of the ball pretty quickly. He doesn't take beatings. He'll get down to the ground. And I think, what is he, 38 now or
39?
Yeah, so I think he can make it to 42, 43. I just think Father Time will get to him before 45. But I definitely think he could outlast what Brett Favre did. But like I said, Favre took a huge beating throughout his career. But the thing about Brady is he takes care of his body tremendously. What he puts into his system as far as eating and as far as working out, the guy, he takes care of his body on a regular basis year-round. It's incredible. So I really think he could possibly get to 42 or 43. I think 45 may be pushing it.
Because
we just hadn't seen that in modern day. So I'm just going to say Father Time will catch him by then.
I just want to say, I said Blanda first. And also, yeah, I say 43.
I said Blanda first. We can go back and listen to it on the radio.
Oh, you can go back and listen to it. I said Blanda first. You're going to be mad when you hear me say Blanda.
We got to go back and replay that, Dre. I said his whole name first.
I said Blanda before you got George out. But go back and listen to
it. Oh, man, get
anyway.
Out. Cocaine is a hell of a drug, JQ.
Yeah, I don't know about that, bro. I live above the street.
That's a joke, America. That's a joke, by the way. That's just a joke. Being facetious.
Yeah, no, hey, listen. I know out there with the hurricane doing the devil's dandruff. That's all you in New Orleans, bro. That's all you. Barber Street.
I'm in A-Town, man. It's Margaritaville.
Oh, man, you going. I know where you pay your taxes at. That's in New Orleans.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd say 43, though, honestly. I say 43 for all the things you just said. Brady takes great care of his body. He's not absorbed a lot of hits in his career. He's had injuries, but the ACL is, I don't remember now, that's almost 8 years ago now. I think it was 2009 or somewhere in there. So I think 43, 45 for what I'm saying is no way. I just can't see that happening to be elite for that long. But he can get to 43, though. I think he can get to 43.
I think so, too.
Yeah, we get to 43. Yeah, he's not that far off. Gentlemen, we're about 5 minutes into the show. We're going to wrap this up. I know we're going to talk about some other stuff here, but I wanted to ask you that word on the street is that the Houston Texans are looking at Jimmy Garoppolo as a backup. This is something that it's like the joke we're learning from the past. But yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, what's going on, man? I mean, they need like a new GM, man, because if they do that, man, you talk about the biggest, like, you know, Bill Belichick, hey, why don't you take Jimmy Garoppolo? Oh, yeah, my mentor's not going to screw me over. You just did that again with freaking Brock Osweiler. So I just didn't know if you heard the rumors about that. Them jokers are actually thinking about looking at Jimmy Garoppolo as a quarterback, man. What's up with that, bro? Seriously, I'm sorry I had to, like, talk
about
that.
Well, I'll tell you another rumor is that I can tell you the Texans will be a team that will definitely consider Romo if the Cowboys cut him. And
I know
the Broncos will be in at number two. If the Cowboys cut Romo, which I don't think any team is going to trade for him. I just really don't. But I think the Broncos and the Texans will both at least give Romo a look, and possibly one of those teams will sign him to give him a chance to see what he can come in and do. But Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, that could be interesting. Obviously, in a short time frame, he did very well for the Patriots early in the season when they went 3-1.
Three games.
He started three of those four games and played well. Obviously, you know, I say the Patriots, Bill Belichick, man, the guy won with a third-string quarterback this year, too. The guy's going to win regardless who he have in there. So, I mean, to me, I think if you're the Texans, you got to be really careful about that. But if you're the Texans, why not be aggressive, though? I mean, you can see what you have on the roster right now is not going to be it. So, but you gotta keep going for it until you get it right. So, I mean, if you're a Texans, I would say you go for it. See what you have and give Garoppolo a chance or see what you can get with Romo, even though I think Romo's personally retired. But if you're the Texans, your team has got a good defense. I mean, you were in that game for the first half against the Patriots. If you can somehow get good quarterback play, you can possibly be a contending team. So you got to go for it if you're the Texans.
Go ahead, JQ.
I told him he took everything I was going to say. I was going to say the exact same thing. If you're Houston, why not? You're everything except for a competent quarterback play from being really, really good because you got a good defense. And look at all the speed they added with Braxton Miller and Will Fuller and Tyler Irvin and Lamar Miller. They've got a lot of speed. And CJ, however you pronounce his last name, was really good for them at tight end as well. They have weapons with a good defense. They just need a competent quarterback. I'm with Rob. You just don't say how we made a mistake and ride that out when you have that kind of roster. You just keep swinging for the fences, and hopefully you
not,
get lucky.
Not
catch
Jimmy Garoppolo, though. Not Jimmy Garoppolo.
Who else? Why not?
I'm just saying.
You
got to
keep going forward until you get it right. That's at that position. You know, we're saying this about the Cleveland Browns. They missed on the last 1,023, but maybe 1,024 will be the guy. You got to keep going forward.
Gosh. I guess you keep going, but I'm saying, like, it seemed like somebody like getting like the heat. Hey, here's this guy. Come on, bro. Bill O'Brien, you're not learning a lesson, bro. But, I mean, I'm saying get a quarterback, but, you know, I'd be kind of leery. Here's Ryan
but listen.
That went over really well. Oh, here's the McGraw. Oh, we'll see how that goes over.
Yeah. And I can tell you, when you look at the draft standpoint, where the Texans are positioned in this draft, I mean, there's two guys that they'll have a shot at in the late first round.
Deshaun Watson,
I think, will be in the mix around their draft pick. But also another guy I think could get into the late first round is Pat Mahomes, quarterback from Texas Tech. He will be in the mix for somewhere around that time frame. Right now I have Pat Mahomes going 33 to Cleveland as the first pick of the second round. But he's another guy that can sneak in later part of this first round of the draft. So, I mean, I think when you look at Deshaun Watson, his grade is somewhere between 20 to 30 when you look at it. So he'll be in the Texans picking 25. So he'll be an option in that mix in that time frame. And like I said, also Pat Mahomes is another guy that could be in a mix. But I mean, I have Watson going late first round. I have Mahomes going the first pick of the second round of Cleveland.
Gotcha. Those hey, guys, we got to wrap up the show, man.
Yep. Well, teams will trade up in the latter part of the first round to get one of those two guys, both of them.
There it is. Wrap up the show, Rob.
Next Tuesday night, we'll be back recapping the Super Bowl. We got a lot to talk about sports-wise, so you don't want to miss us on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central.